Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and on today's show, we'll meet the new Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Deputy Commissioner of Healthcare. Then we'll get an update from Camp Ripley, and we'll round out the show with an update from one of our county veteran service officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
As we prepare to celebrate this 4th of July, reflect with me for a moment. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Does it mean a day off from work, picnics, patriotic concerts, and fireworks? For many, it is an opportunity to wear red, white, and blue to unfurl the American flag. The day is an opportunity for a vacation with family and friends, barbecues, and summer games. What's lost on many, and remembered by few, are the origins and significance of this special day. The 4th of July celebrates an important birth date, the birth of our nation and the Declaration of Independence of the 13 colonies as a separate but united state. This revolutionary declaration espoused the government for the people, by the people. It states we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, which among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Instrumental in our nation's fight for independence was the colonial militia, the predecessors of the colonial army and today's National Guard. These soldiers fought a valiant fight, ensuring the formation of an independent state and laying the foundation for the National Guard's role in future conflict. As we celebrate this 4th of July, let's pause for a moment and remember the men and women who are serving this country today, securing that freedom just as our country's forefathers did. Have a happy and safe 4th of July.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio to talk about healthcare and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is Eric Mentinen. In May of 2023, Eric was selected as the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Eric is responsible for the 5 current and 3 soon-to-open veterans homes, the Adult Care Day Center, and the Veteran Suicide Prevention Initiative. In his position, Eric partners with the Healthcare Division senior leadership team to engage stakeholders, establish strategic plans, and execute operational excellence objectives that achieve the highest quality and safest care for our residents, our veterans. Eric, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. And thank you for the time with your audience as well.
Yeah. Hey, we appreciate you coming in and having this conversation with us, talk about the healthcare system inside of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about you, where you came from, and what led you from once being in the Minnesota National Guard to now being in the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in charge of the healthcare system.
Excellent. Thank you, Doug. It's a great question. I've had a wonderful career. I'm from Duluth and I joined the 109th Combat Maintenance Unit out of Duluth. And I was a 35 Echo, a special electronic devices repairer and technician. After I graduated from high school, I went on to college at Mankato State University for their aviation program. College was interrupted, though, because of the Gulf War. And soon after I had graduated from the state-run officer candidate school, Minnesota Military Academy, the unit that I returned back to, the 109th Combat Maintenance Unit, was called up for the Gulf War. And we had just a few weeks in order to prepare and move to a deployment status with at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, and then off to the Gulf. And we served during Desert Shield and Desert Storm activities as well. When I returned, I continued on with college and then went on to grad school in Wisconsin at the University of Wisconsin-Stout and in the Safety and Risk Control Management Program. After that, as a part of that program, it's mandatory that you have an internship, and I was fortunate enough to have my first internship at the Mayo Clinic. And my master's thesis from that program was turned into one of the first 3 quality improvement projects for Mayo at the time. So it was very exciting for me to be a leader in quality at that time in my career. And then also to have the experience as being their safety officer for their largest hospital, St. Mary's Hospital. And continuing on with continuous improvement and quality efforts throughout the organization, including areas such as surgery, radiology, the clinical labs, and research laboratories as well. It was an exciting career. And I had the opportunity to learn a lot, meet a lot about people, learn a lot about patient care and how to perform excellent patient care as well in those operations.
Well, and so an opportunity then presents itself here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You know, obviously you put your hat in the ring, or your name in the hat, or whatever the saying is. You're selected. And you come in, you work for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. I mean, this is a huge responsibility. I mean, 5 homes now, 3 opening. Wow.
It is. It's a wonderful opportunity. I think that I look back and I think this is an opportunity for me to bookend my career. I started my career when at a very young age with serving in the military. And now I get to bookend my career at the final part of my career, leveraging all that great experiences that I've had in different organizations in this country, in the metro area, in the state, and also internationally as well.
So was it just kind of a happenstance? Did someone seek you out to put your name in for this position, or you were just lucky and you're like, hey, here's an opportunity?
You know, I have been lucky, yes, because nobody reached out to me. I was just at the point with my family where we decided that I should start to look for a permanent position instead of consulting. And on a Monday, this arrived when I was searching the state website, and I applied on Tuesday. And soon thereafter, I received a call for an interview.
Well, we're glad to have you on the team. And, you know, you've got a ton of experience, the things that you're talking about here with the quality, the safety control, all that kind of stuff. So I have to imagine that as a part of the interview process then, and all of this experience that you have, that has to really bode well for you. And maybe you can explain then with what you'll do with all of that experience as you come in and really get into this role and kind of turn it into you in the healthcare system.
Excellent question. I'll say that during the interview process, Commissioner Herkey was part of the interview process, and I asked Commissioner Herkey if I was selected for this role, what would be the priorities? And Commissioner Herkey had indicated that number one would be safety for staff, safety for their patients. That's the priority for us. Number two, it would be to open and successfully open these 3 new homes, these new veterans homes, because they are a part of our community and a part of the community that I'm really continuing to explore and be engaged in and very excited about as well. These are just not homes. They are parts of the community. And the communities are very engaged with the homes as well. It's a wonderful experience. And I think the third item that Commissioner Herkey had mentioned to me was culture. We want to really focus on creating a positive experience for those that are serving our veterans, and also that will then impact directly the level of care that they provide for our veterans as well. I've been impressed so far with whom I've met. I've toured around quite a bit and met people, and I have a very open type of transparent type of an approach to management and leadership, and it has been a wonderful experience to meet people and learn what they bring to the daily work and how they come about with supporting our veterans.
So I want to take a quick break here. I want to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about, you know, your short-term, your long-term goals, and just talk a little bit more about healthcare at the veterans' homes in general. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We are going to take a quick break. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. We've been speaking with Eric Maitinen, and Eric, he is the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Eric, before we went into the break, you were talking about the 3 things that the commissioner told you he wanted you to address. And, you know, one of the things that he mentioned in there was culture. And so I know that it's not a popular subject, but let's just get to the elephant in the room, right? Let's talk a little bit about Hastings and in the culture and what you're doing to bring us back to that level that we know that we should be at.
Well, thanks, Doug. That's a great question, a great topic. With my 30-day plan for leadership at and start of the leadership program at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Veterans Healthcare, we've had a good opportunity to tour, and I will say that before any other campus, I've toured the Hastings facility and spent 2 days there touring and meeting people. and meeting patients, meeting staff, and I was pleasantly surprised. They are really motivated to provide the best quality care that they can for our patients there. And so it's a very exciting opportunity to support and build on the foundation that that we have in Hastings and our other facilities as well. I will say that the Hastings facility, even though it's an older facility, the patients really feel that it's their home. They feel that they want to stay in Hastings, and they really like it, and they enjoy being cared for by a great team of professionals there. But the facility is older, and oftentimes you see when you walk down the hall, you'll see older rooms and shared bathrooms as well. And the new facility that we're moving forward with is will be different. It will be great, and I want to express my sincere appreciation to the legislature and to the to those that have been pushing forward with regards to changes and improvements and the funding for those changes in the Hastings facilities and then for our new facilities as well. It's going to be an exciting time, and we have some funding to deconstruct or plan for and then rebuild the Hastings facility in the near future too. So we're really excited about that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
And it's important to mm-hmm. note then that with that facility, you were explaining that, some of the rooms, they're multi-veterans in a room, there's shared bathrooms, and for reasons of health concerns, mm-hmm. the new facility can be individual or will be individual rooms with their own bathrooms, and it'll just kind of be an upgrade to really the old buildings that you have right now.
Definitely. That's a part of the improving the patient quality of care as well from the infrastructure standpoint. The culture is something that's exciting as well, because we're doing a lot with regards to really facilitating cultural aspects of care, and that will have a direct impact with regards to how caregivers pay, how caregivers help their patients as well. And I'll give you just some examples of some of the things that we're doing with regards to culture. We're really spending time with our Hastings staff, and we are learning and listening about their needs and about some of the advice that they happen to have for improvements. And I think that goes a long way to when you first meet people within the first 30 days of my time with the MDVA, it's been one that is I've really wanted to spend that 30 days learning about others, not judging what we've accomplished or what has happened in the past, but to really have an open mind and to learn and listen. And I think we've been successful with that. And I think it's been so successful we'd like to continue on with that. We've had to make some decisions in the meantime, but we'd really like to continue on with having an open mind and learning and listening from others as well. Some of those ideas that I've heard of are just wonderful. The staff have told me some of the items that they would like changed or improved, and it has really been helpful to learn and document and then start to incorporate those into our future planning as well.
And I would mm-hmm. imagine then that will be able to carry over to the other facilities so that we can just keep on moving forward and we don't have any other hiccups in the road. And because culture is extremely important, mm-hmm. not only with the staff, which, as we know, it's tough to get staff these days anyway across the entire healthcare field, but then, the culture of our veterans that are in these homes, the residents, mm-hmm. Is extremely important as well.
Most definitely. And I had started with my 30-day process of learning, and I really wanted to reach out to members of the Hastings facility and other facilities and listen and learn, as I mentioned. And a part of that has been Teams calls with their meetings and also being on site too. They have offered some good suggestions for me too. And part of those, some of those suggestions are we've started to incorporate already. For instance, they've asked me to see if I have time to call each individual new employee in the Hastings facility and just talk with them. Learn about them, learn about their roles, and really learn about why they are there to care for our veterans. And it has been very successful. A part of that success, then, we're going to emulate that and spread that concept to other facilities that we happen to have, too. I think Silver Bay, we're going to start that next as well. So it's time-consuming, but I've learned a lot from individual new employees, from the teams that I've met, and also the individual staff members who have been there for quite some time.
I think what an important thing to do, right? I mean, when the deputy commissioner calls a staff member, not because they're in trouble, but because you're interested in what it is they're doing. You're interested to hear what kind of ideas, thoughts, or suggestions they might have about enhancements to the program. That's got to pay off pretty darn good, I think.
Most definitely. And I think it's just a different approach from maybe what I've learned and listened to about the past in other organizations in which I've worked as well. And I think it also bodes well to caring for learning about the needs of our patients directly from staff. And they can tell me some things that maybe we can implement right away. Maybe it has to be part of our planning as well. And I will just say that part of this is not just listening to staff, but also patients. So I've sat down with patients and I've learned that they really appreciate all the facilities and being in the facilities. It's the next best place from home, in their opinion, in Fergus Falls and in Hastings and in Silver Bay and other areas. We just are getting accolades directly from our patients with regards to how they feel about being in our facilities.
Well, I mean, you're only, you know, just over 30 days in, and, you know, this is the time to learn and unpack so that you can put that plan together and start meeting those long-term goals or, you know, do things to support those. So when you talk about the rebuild, though, of the Hastings campus, obviously, again, you already thanked the legislature for providing that funding. Do you know when they might be breaking ground and what the expected time would be on that?
Well, in 2023, Governor Walz had approved the state investment of $77 million to cover 35% of the cost. And we're going to start – we're actually starting this year with regards to planning. And then in soon thereafter, we'll say as soon as in our terms, would be in the next few years, we're going to start the process. So we're going to be deconstructing some of the facilities starting next year, and that's an exciting step as well. And then the planning process and permitting, it'll take a little time, but then we'll move right into the construction stage.
So we spent a lot of time on healthcare, and we've only got about maybe 2.5 minutes here. But I do want to make sure that we talk about the other things that are in your purview. You mentioned the adult day center before, and then also you've got Veteran Suicide Prevention Initiative. What can you tell us about those programs?
Yeah, it's very interesting about the patients that we serve. We have a continuum of care. They might start with adult daycare where their spouse needs some assistance in helping them care for their spouse or who's a veteran. And we offer that in our facilities as well, the adult daycare center. And I'll speak specifically of the Minneapolis campus. And then we progress into the domiciles, which are care and board facilities, which are not long-term care nursing facilities. They're care and board facilities where patients who might have some challenges in their life, be that financial, be that substance abuse, be that other medical conditions, we are there to help them and provide a safe place for them to reside and help them with their care. It's a wonderful facility, and we have the facility in the Hastings, and then we have the domiciles as well on the Minneapolis campus. And then we progress to the veterans' homes, and those are more of the long-term skilled nursing facilities that we have as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's exciting to learn about the continuum of care there. We also have a partnership or a collaboration that we're really focusing on with many other organizations, including the American Legion, the Minneapolis VA, and other organizations in order to help us help our veterans in the area of suicide prevention. On an annualized basis, we have about over 100 Minnesota veterans commit suicide every year. And we're really trying to make an effort with regards to reducing those incidents and helping our veterans get the care that they need.
And what an important topic. And, of course, we know 1-888-LINK-VET is a resource that if anybody's thinking about suicide, they should call that. If they need help or want to get additional information about the healthcare system, the vets homes, 1-888-LINK-VET as well. And, of course, MinnesotaVeteran.org. The last plug I got to give, and then we've got to end this segment, is I know you're hiring. So we'll direct people to MinnesotaVeteran.org. They'll get information there to apply for the positions, the many healthcare positions that you have, especially as you open up the three new homes. Eric, it's been great to chat with you in the studio. Appreciate you coming in. Good luck on your new position and many years to come of greatness and building that great culture and doing great things in our healthcare system.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that. Can I just leave one sentence where we really want to emphasize the mission, which is the needs of our veterans come first.
Needs of the veterans come first. Thank you. That's Eric Maitinen. He is the Deputy Commissioner of Veterans Healthcare at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to get an update from Camp Ripley. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
This week, families and communities celebrate independence of our country and the freedoms we enjoy as we celebrate the 4th of July. The signers of the Declaration of Independence did not take their signatures lightly. Here we are, hundreds of years later, with the same purpose and promise that guides our country. At your 4th of July celebrations, I encourage you to take a moment to look back at the courage and wisdom of our founding fathers and be renewed in the shared commitment to those core values that brought our nation to life back then. This is still what guides us today. Take a few minutes to remember what the 4th of July is about and to remind ourselves how fortunate we are to be Americans. Remember that freedom is not free, and have a happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me on the phone from Camp Ripley, a 53,000-acre regional training center near Little Falls, and the premier training site in Minnesota, arguably the best in the entire National Guard, is Brigadier General Lowell Cruz. Brigadier General Cruz serves as the Minnesota National Guard Assistant Adjutant General Army and the installation commander up at Camp Ripley. General Cruz, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks, Doug. We're excited to join you again and have a chance to talk about Camp Ripley and everything going on up here.
Well, sir, you know, I was excited to hear that you're going to be on the show today, but then I was disappointed to find out that you weren't going to be in the studio. It's always a pleasure to see you in person, get the opportunity to shake that big paw of yours. But I understand that you've got a pretty good reason as to why you can't be in the studio today.
Yeah, we're in the middle of our second annual Family Day here on the installation. For years prior to COVID, we celebrated our employees and their contributions in the Christmas time frame. But when we couldn't get together in the winter in a building due to COVID, we started a couple of years ago doing an annual picnic in June. And the installation has really responded to it. We've combined that with Bring Your Kids Today to Work and See Where Dad or Mom Works Day, and so I have an installation full of children today running around touring the fire department and the airfield and looking at helicopters and tanks and Bradleys, and right now I got a theater full of kids watching a movie over in our tack. So lots of moving pieces around here today, and it was really an opportunity for me at noon to thank the installation for supporting me for the last 6 years as I was the senior commander here on the installation. And as I transition out of the full-time work with the Minnesota National Guard, this is an opportunity to stand in front of them and really give credit where it's due to the employees of the Minnesota National Guard.
Well, what a great opportunity to, you know, open up the gates of Camp Ripley to, you know, obviously those that work there, but them to bring their families in. And what an awesome experience I'm sure that it was for these kids to see where mom and dad work and get to touch and feel and climb on and see some of that equipment. And I bet you would rather be in that auditorium or the gym watching that movie, but here you are on the radio with Doug Wortham and Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, Doug, I would always, you know, plan on being with you first.
Well, I appreciate that, but we do need to talk about some business. And you've been the senior installation commander for 6 years up at Camp Ripley. And, you know, over those 6 years, and of course the multiple years you've had of experience up at Camp Ripley, there's always something going on. And of course, summertime, this is the big time for Camp Ripley. How are things going up there, and what's happening this summer up at Camp Ripley besides Family Day?
We've had a very busy June. We were full the first 3 weeks of June with a lot of units. Our building was full. We probably averaged about 1,500 soldiers here a week, and lots of different people training on the installation. And we were home to a couple of field artillery battalions here in early June, so we made some noise and rattled some plates up in Baxter and Brainerd. Unfortunately, with all the heavy smoke in the air that we've had from the Canadian wildfires, we probably had a few more noise complaints than normal because the sound would hang and travel a little bit further. But all in all, the noise and sound of freedom has been pretty active here at Camp Ripley through May and June. We're kind of take a lull around the 4th of July period, but after the 4th, starting that week of the 10th of July, we'll fill back up again with several more battalions that'll be here in July and August. And, of course, we host our annual youth camp here the end of July and the first part of August as well. So we've got a couple iterations of a couple hundred military-connected youth coming here to camp as well. So we've got a busy schedule planned for the year, or at least through the summer. And the highlight of the whole spring so far is it's really lacked drama. We've had some really good, safe training, some beautiful weather to train in, and really, knock on wood, you know, done it safely with a lot of success. So it's been a good summer for us so far.
So General Cruz, I've been looking through some of the accomplishments for 2022, and then, of course, we've got objectives for 2023, but some things on here that I just wasn't tracking, I wasn't aware of. I did not know that Camp Ripley is the home of the U.S. Coast Guard's Cold Water Dive Course, and also you had the U.S. Navy's Mobile Diving and Salvage Unit School up there.
Yes, about 7 years ago, the Navy, at the very start of COVID, the Navy was going up into Canada to do their under ice diving, and they needed to find a new home, and they found us. And through the Navy, you know, salvage divers, they have to be ready to salvage, you know, sunken ships or whatever for the Navy in any environment, to include diving under the ice. They started coming here and using our lakes and our waterways for that training. And it was just natural that they bring along their brother in the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard has moved their official school here, so their ice diving school now is here located at Camp Ripley. Okay. And we couldn't be more excited about having them as a partner here, because they come in that January time frame when the base is pretty wide open for their use. And they really are pretty easy to take care of, because they're just concentrating on cutting some holes in our lakes and swimming under the ice.
Well, what a great partnership to have. And so we've got just about 2 minutes or so here before this segment has to come to an end. And I'm just wondering if you can kind of tell us a little bit about 2023 objectives and really where is Camp Ripley going over the next 5 years?
Well, this year we're really focused on our bread and butter, which is just normal annual trainings for our Minnesota National Guard units. We don't have a lot of units that are prepping for deployment. Our division headquarters will be going to Iraq or to Kuwait this next spring in the January-February time frame. But before that, this summer, we're just really focused on, you know, restoring that social contract with National Guard soldiers, which was that 2 weeks in the summer and two weekends a month kind of training. We're also doing a lot of planning. In 2024, we're going to have the 2nd Brigade from Iowa up here for about 3 to 4 weeks doing an XCTC on the installation, which will make us a very busy place for a good solid month in the summer of 24. We're also going through modernization of our armor brigade, and so we're going to see a lot of rail traffic here this fall with our old Bradleys moving out and hopefully new Bradleys showing up, and then following right behind that, new different tanks for our brigade as well. And so our maintenance folks over in the CMA and our rail activities are going to be very intense over the next 2 years as we modernize the 1st Armored Brigade.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, I guess it's great to be the jewel of the North, to have the ability to do the things that you're doing and really be just a premier training site.
Yeah, we really live up to the moniker of the Warrior's Choice. And, you know, but more importantly, as the home of the Minnesota National Guard, and its maintenance activities and the armor brigade training and those kind of elements really give us the credence, I guess, nationally of, you know, I was telling my maintenance team today at the picnic that, you know, the CMA, our consolidated maintenance activity, is revered by the Army as a whole because of the readiness levels that it can maintain for this armor brigade. And it really comes back to Minnesota work ethic and those hometown values that our parents taught us, and, you know, working hard and showing up and doing things right.
Yep, the reputation of
employees across the installation are that.
Yep, the reputation of Minnesota National Guard, absolutely high regards. General Cruz, we want to take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your plans once your term as the senior installation commander comes up. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's the Senior Installation Commander up at Camp Ripley, also the Assistant Adjutant General Army for the Minnesota National Guard. General Cruz, great conversation to hear about all the wonderful things going on up at Camp Ripley, and just, you know, the resources that you provide, the ability to take care of not only our Minnesota National Guard, but of course, all of our service components. And so just a fantastic job up at Camp Ripley. I want to spend this last 3.5 minutes here talking a little bit about you. You've been up at Camp Ripley as the senior installation commander for coming on 6 years. And as we know, everything comes to an end, and you're going to be transitioning out of your position as the senior installation commander here in July. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and what you'll be doing as your role inside the Minnesota National Guard?
Yeah, Doug. So I learned over the last year you can't pick your successor. And so I kind of built this timeline for me leaving the full-time force of the Minnesota National Guard based on trying really hard to find another general to follow in my footsteps here. Unfortunately, those stars didn't align right, and so we are going back to a model here at Camp Ripley that has existed for, you know, almost 100 years, which is a colonel as a garrison commander working full-time here as the installation. So Troy Fink will be replacing me as the garrison commander and working full-time. Really, on the installation, from their point of view, zero change in how the installation operates. They just might lose a one-star general standing around with his hands in his pockets. But for me, it's an opportunity to go back to where I grew up and grew up in. And my wife and I are moving back to South Dakota. We have a home over by Brookings, South Dakota. And I will continue as the Assistant Adjutant General Army as a what we call a traditional or an M-Day soldier. So I'll drill a couple days a month. And beyond that, it's truly just an opportunity to gain a little more time, free time for my wife and I to do a few things we like to do. And then I'm working full time as a instructor for battalion level staffs on how to be staff officers out of the Mission Command Training Center out of Camp Dodge. So I'll keep my finger in the pot of the Minnesota National Guard in that role as well.
Well, that's great. You know, I've known you for many, many years, and it was just a pleasure to be able to serve with you. I've always respected you and what you bring to the table, and I just want to say from Minnesota Military Radio, and I'm sure from all those that do know you, thank you for what you've done up at Camp Ripley as the senior installation commander.
Yeah, it's been a great, great time here actually trying to, drive the installation forward to lay some master plans on the ground that'll come to fruition. I can't wait over the next 7 years to see things like the military museum come out of the ground, some rail infrastructure additions here on the installation, moving the installation headquarters back into Nelson Hall are all achievements that I can say that I had something to do with. And it'll be exciting to see them come and bear fruit. And so it'll be fun to come back and see what the installation looks like.
Well, thank you, sir, for joining Minnesota Military Radio. Best of luck on your future. That was Brigadier General Lowell Cruz from Camp Ripley. Joining us now is Josh Beniga. Josh is the Lacaparo County Veteran Service Officer and the Vice President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Josh, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great to be with you, Doug.
Yeah, glad to have you calling in today. Normally, I talk to Marty, and last time I talked to him, he had a meeting with the Adjutant General, and then I hear that you guys met with him again. What was that meeting about?
Well, actually, it might be the same meeting. We talked on May 31st, had a nice little hour-long meeting with General Mankey and his staff as Director of Communications, the J-9, and other people as well. It was a good meeting, and we were talking about better coordination with currently serving National Guardsmen and how the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers or County Veteran Service Officers can be integrated in some of their out-processing or annual drill weekend training sessions.
Well, and that's such an important thing, too, to have that relationship established, because like we've said on this show many times, and each time we have one of our CVSOs on the show, is we promote that, right? Go see your county veteran service officer. If
Absolutely.
Nothing else, get that 214 to them and stay in contact, though, to find out new benefits and things coming up, right?
Absolutely. The Congress keeps passing legislation that directly affects veterans, and we're at the forefront of disseminating that information to our local areas, and County Veteran Service Officer, we keep up on that stuff, so we're a wealth of information, and if we don't have the information on the top of our heads, it's a quick Google search, and you can have an expert interpret some of the legalese that's being discussed.
I think that's an important topic right there. You might not have all the answers, but you at least know how to find them, and you are that conduit to the resources available. So
yeah, and colleagues, myself included, we still reach out to our neighbors, say, hey, I have this situation. What's your experience with it? So we're constantly learning from each other. We're learning, we have continuing education just like most professionals. And we're constantly learning. If you're not learning, you're not doing your job right.
And one of the interesting things is, especially in this season now, I know that you all have an office and you're busy taking care of our veterans out in the community. But one of the things you are doing is some outreach events, hitting some county fairs up, I understand.
That's right. County fair season is coming up throughout the state. And many CVSOs, spend a lot of time at the county fair reaching out to the veterans. I know I always look forward to attending my county fair and just talking to people.
Yeah, what a great place, too. And, so we should just tell all of those veterans out there, if you're a family member of a veteran, stop by, see that county veteran service officer and just kind of get the latest scoop. You never know what kind of information you're going to be able to get out of that conversation.
Absolutely, and you can't beat fair food either,
corn dogs. You're like absolutely that, so. Right. So we've got just under a minute left here, and I want to bring up the Vietnam War, the 50th anniversary. What can you tell us about that? We know that some funding was approved to put together an event we talked about on the show. Is there any information that you can provide, or maybe what input or involvement you'll have in it?
Well, I do sit on the planning committee for the event that's going to take place, I believe, in August or September of 2024. Don't quote me on those dates, but the participation I've had is we were talking about who to invite, whether it be dignitaries, whether it be specific veterans, people that authors or local celebrities or people in the state and federal legislature, and we just had an ongoing list of who to invite and what the event should look like, and can't wait till our next meeting.
Well, you've got some time to get all the details worked out. Just glad to have you on the board or the planning committee to make that happen. Josh, I want to say thanks for joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Sounds good, Doug. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. That's Josh Beninga. He's the Lacaparo County Veteran Service Officer and the Vice President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We are near the end of our time together here, and I'd like to let you know that this show is for you. So if you do have topic suggestions, if you have show feedback, or if you're a Minnesota veteran and you'd like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on the Contact Us button, and then send us a message. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Josh Beninga, Eric Maitinen, Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when we talk about Shoot for the Troops. We'll hear from the Commander's Task Force and get an update from the Director at the Minneapolis Veterans Affairs Healthcare System. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. It is the 4th of July weekend. Enjoy the liberties that we enjoy because of those who served. I'm Doug Wortham, and I would like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week. Find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.